Madeline, thank you. I hope I pronounced your name correctly, but thank you for the song. It fits so well with what I'm going to be sharing today. I'm going to invite you into a typical Gary Taber devotional that I used to do, or worship time with God. I don't think it's all that different from what most people do when they have time in the Word and time with God. If I were studying the passage that was read this morning by Michelle, if that were my devotional time, this is somewhat how it would go. I would read it, and you can open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. I would read it, and I would read the phrases, and I would be asking questions as I read. What does this passage say about God? What does it say about me and my relationship with God? What is God trying to teach me? What does he want me to know? And so, as I would read this passage, probably I would read the first verse, put on as God's chosen holy ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. And I would say, God is telling me he wants me to be like him. I would go on reading, and I would read other phrases, putting on love above all things, and let the peace of Christ rule in my heart. And that peace would be peace that comes from God and peace which I'm to have with him and with others. And I would think about that and meditate on it. And I'm to be thankful. I would go on and I would have read about how Christ is to dwell in me richly. And I would question whether he always dwells richly in me if I allow that to happen. I would think about that for a minute. What does it mean to dwell richly? I would check out some words in the original language such as richly or compassion or hearts or kindness. I would get down to the last part that says, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I would say, I need to trust Jesus more. Then I would, spend more time than that studying that passage. What I would do then is I would close my Bible, I would put it over here, and then I would pray and thank Jesus and talk to him, or thank God and talk to God about all the things I normally talk to God about. I would talk to God about my day. I would talk to God about wanting to be more like him. I would talk to God about things I need, things you usually talk to God about. And I never thought about the fact that in doing it that way, time with God was God in a monologue telling me something, me in a monologue telling God something. And I was missing out on something powerful. I don't think God ever intended us to have the time in the Word and time in prayer, or time in the Word without time in prayer, or time in prayer without time in the Word. I mean, yes, you can pray. I'm talking about when you spend time with God for your worship or your devotions. There are those two aspects. I have come to believe over the last several months that using Scripture in prayer can be a meaningful, powerful, and effective way to communicate with God. Using Scripture in prayer can be a meaningful, powerful, and effective way to communicate with God. If we're to be honest, I think most of us would agree or acknowledge that all too often we're more interested in claiming God's promises to get answers to our prayers than in getting to know him and surrendering to him as Lord and submitting our wills to his will. If you were to listen to the prayers of most people, you would conclude that we are more concerned about having a good life than we are living our lives in his kingdom. If you were to listen to most prayers, you would probably conclude that instead of being still and knowing God, we want to try to help God be God by letting him in on our problems, our difficulties, and our pain. And I'm not saying we should never talk to God about those things. Of course we should. But if that's all we talk to him about, there's something wrong with that picture. We must admit that there are times when we have a hard time knowing what to say in prayer, or times when it's hard to keep from repeating things that we often say in our prayers. We are just as guilty as the religious leaders Jesus talked to sometimes of becoming repetitious in our prayers as they were. Lord, thank you for the wonderful day you have given us. Yes, he's given us this day. We say the same things in the same ways often, and we wonder why we don't see much happening from our prayers. I want to give you a personal testimony. It probably began with my series on the Lord's Prayer. And throughout my ministry, there have been times when I'm doing things like anointing services where I will refer to Scripture and prayer, and I will say things in an anointing service like, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief, which is from the story of Jesus healing the demoniac, the father's son who was had a demon. Or I would end the prayer when I'm praying for anointing, saying, Lord, we ask that you do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. Because it seemed like those kind of phrases just fit that kind of situation. We needed God there. But in my rut and routine, and I said that on purpose, of my prayer life, I seldom brought Scripture into my prayers. After all, I read Scripture. Why should I pray about Scripture? Some time ago, I started thinking about that, and I don't know exactly how it happened, but I began to start, when I was reading the Bible, I would start using the Bible and what I just read as the basis and the starting point for my prayers. And I can't tell you what it has done. When we had our church retreat last October, I presented to those who were there, and there was under 20, the basic things I'm presenting to you today, and I saw eyes light up and smiles as people practiced it. About a month and a half ago, we had a visioning meeting, and I presented that to those who were there to talk about where we're heading as a church. And we did something at the end of that. We divided up into groups of two to be accountable to each other. And we said, would like you to try reading from the Psalms, beginning with Psalm 23 and going through Psalm, was it 27 or 28? 27. Huh?
2 to 6.
2 to 6. 22 to 26, that's right. And we read it, and then we divided up, and we would talk to each other about what it meant as we prayed those passages of Scripture in our prayers. And it was amazing. I did a worship at the La Sierra Academy for the elementary. And they got there late because it was a bad traffic day. And I was trying to present what I'm presenting to you in 5 minutes. And I was rushing through it. And as I'm presenting it and talking about praying Scripture, one of the teachers looked at me and said, this is too important. They've got people who will take care of our classrooms. We can be late today. Last Sabbath, we had a large group from La Sierra Academy, so the classes were large, and I decided I was just going to take as many as I could over to the side, and I would talk from Romans 8, since I just studied that with the Romans 8 study group. And we took that last section, which says, who shall separate us from God? Death can't, life can't, the angels won't, and all the powers of hell itself cannot keep God's power, love away. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, or where we are, high above the heavens or in the deepest part of the earth, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I said to them, why don't you turn this into a personal prayer, a personal reading? And they did. And so they read. And you can put your own name in there. Nothing can separate Gary from the love of God. Death can't. Life can't. The angels won't, and all the powers of hell itself cannot keep God's love away from Gary. Put your own name in. And then I asked them, I said, why don't you take a few moments and silently pray that prayer? Why don't you take a few moments and take whatever phrases spoke to you, whatever phrases jumped out at you, and talk to God about those phrases. You can say the exact same words. You can paraphrase the phrases. You can say, God, here's a part I don't understand. I'll talk about that in a moment. But why don't you have a prayer with God talking about and using the words he's already shared with you about what he wants you to know? They did it. At least two in the class looked up with tears in their eyes. I asked them what difference it made, and they shared it with me. I'll share that in a little moment. Just started a Sabbath school class on the Psalms. One of the things we're going to do in that Sabbath school class on the Psalms is we're going to end each lesson by praying back the Scripture we've studied to God. I'm going to urge them to do that during the week. So that you don't think it's just me and maybe I found something that helps me, I've asked some of the people who are part of the visioning process to come up and share what praying scripture has meant to them in their own personal life. So John and Nikki and Greg, would you come on up? This was the one I had. So I think, who's going first? Nikki is? Okay.
Hello. something about praying with scripture. One thing never ceases to amaze me is something, when you're reading a scripture and then you pray about it that day, it's kind of amazing how later on that day, something happens and you remember that scripture and that prayer and it relates back to it. And you can kind of just do a silent prayer right there saying, thank you, God, that I read that today. And that maybe you gave me a heads up, or maybe you could debate about maybe he directed me to that verse, or maybe he knew that was going to happen anyway. Either way, it's in the Bible, and God's the foundation of the Bible. So sometimes it's difficult to relate to the Bible. There's things that, you know, there's horses, we drive in cars, we have iPads, and they talk to each other. So it's sometimes difficult to relate. But when you read a scripture and pray about it, it's easy to empathize with that character in the Bible, or with maybe even empathize with a little bit with God and get a better understanding of who he is and what that person was struggling with. And you kind of realize it does relate to today, and I'm not alone in this struggle, and I can go forward with God as my foundation, because guess what? He helped out this person, and he's going to help out me too. And something else I wrote it down. Oh, with scripture and prayer, you know, you hear God can move mountains. Well, sometimes it's not really easy to see a mountain being moved, right? So, but what if we think of a mountain kind of like a person who's kind of got a hard center that's, maybe they're just focusing on pessimistic ideas and thoughts about themselves or others. The passage that we read today, if you think about that type of a person reading that passage, and if they struggle with it, reading the passage that we read today in church, and they struggle with it, and instead of just struggling with it and leaving it and letting it go, they struggle with it with God, and they bring it to God. Prayer is action, because I firmly believe that God changes us. And maybe we don't actually see an action like a whole mountain being moved, but that person is almost like a, if you think of it, it is almost like a mountain being moved, because you can't think of that person ever changing. But, or even yourself, if you're in that situation. But prayer is action. Scripture with prayer, it's action. And it's moving forward. So, yeah.
Morning, everyone. As a person who learned English as an adult, I can tell you guys how difficult it is sometimes to express yourself in a different language. I grew up speaking Portuguese, so when you move to another country, it is very hard. Your jokes, people don't understand. Your expressions, your roots are different. So in a sense, as a Christian, when we know God and we are welcome to his family, we have this barrier with the language, with the thoughts and the feelings, because we are worldly, and then God has other plans and other desires for us. So the same way, it took me like 10 years to now get to a point where I can truly express myself in English, make jokes, say things, and be more understood by you guys. By praying through scripture, it really gave me some insight into the language, into the will of God, into his story, and really allowed me to put myself into his story. To me, it is almost like you have that old friend from high school, that you haven't seen in decades, and then you decide to pick up the phone and talk to him. Might be a bit awkward at the beginning. You may not have as much to talk about, only old memories from school. But maybe if you start exchanging letters with him, or Facebook posts, or emails, and you start getting to know his life a little better, and you start to realize that now he's married, he has kids, he has the challenge in the job. So you start getting to know his story and what he's about. Then maybe when you pick up the phone, you're going to be so much closer, and you're going to understand where your friend is coming from, what he's doing, what he expects from you. And I think when you read the scriptures and you talk to God, it's almost as if you are getting to know God a little more. Because if you really believe that the Bible is God's letters, not only to people who lived like 2,000, 3,000 years ago, but if you're able to project yourself into that story and find your space, you're going to realize that that's a letter that God is writing to you so you can get to know him better. So I think as we pray through scripture, gives us more intimacy with God, and I highly recommend that to everyone.
I think you're funny, by the way. That's, I want to tell you a brief experience that happened this week. Many of you know I work at Loma Linda University in the healthcare side. We do the billing. I work in an office with 235 people. And about 90% of them, or maybe more, are not Adventist. Many of them are not Christians. You might not have known that. And one of the ladies that sits right outside my office, Erica, has been struggling with cancer. Some of you have been praying for her. And we've seen the Lord work there. She was given in March of last year 2 to 4 weeks to live. Erica passed away this week. And over the last 10 or 11 months, on Fridays in my office, we have a prayer meeting early in the morning. And we put people's names on that prayer list and we pray for them. And we have been praying for and praising God for Erica for 10 months because he's kept her alive. He kept her alive through her disease to the amazement of her doctors and to all of us. And she was able to do things with her 13-year-old daughter that she wanted to do before she went to sleep. And I was visiting the Fenninger's house this Wednesday, and I was worried about the Friday morning prayer meeting that I was going to have now that Erica has passed away. Because there are people in that room when we pray that are new or not even sure that who God is or that he exists. And how do you talk to someone who's lost a loved one, who sees someone 40 years old pass away and leave a daughter and a husband? And how do you who is God in that moment? And I was struggling over what was I going to say? How was I going to lead this prayer meeting? And I went to the Fenninger's house, and they have Bible studies on Wednesday evenings. And there was a group around the table studying. And I shared, you know, my concern. And Nikki here said to me how she was reminded about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were in the fiery furnace. And they said to Nebuchadnezzar, listen, our God is able to deliver us if you throw us in there. Well, we believe that. But even if he doesn't, we are not going to bow down and worship your idols. And that was an encouragement for me. And that Daniel 3 text I took to the prayer meeting. And I took 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, where Jesus is the first fruits from the dead, and how we as Christians know that even if we don't make it all the way until his second coming, even if we fall asleep, we have a hope that Jesus is going to come and get us and raise our family and our loved ones from the grave. And I wish you could have been at that prayer meeting, because as we prayed over those scriptures and cried over those scriptures, God spoke to us in a way that that wouldn't have happened had we not gotten the inspiration to use the scripture to talk to God about the things that are troubling you today. Thank you, Gary.
Don't go away quite yet. You can just do this by a nod, yes or no. I'm looking for honesty. I have not asked them this question before. Have you found in praying using words of scripture when you pray that fresh insights will come even after having studied the word that you didn't get otherwise? Okay. All right. Thank you. Lest you think I've come up with some kind of new idea and concept about prayer, I want to encourage you and let you know that this is found throughout the Bible. There are four prayers that are some of the most beloved prayers and awesome prayers in Scripture. One of them is Nehemiah chapter 1, where Nehemiah is praying about coming back and rebuilding and inspiring God's people to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And in that prayer, he actually quotes from Moses, from Deuteronomy, and says, God, remember what you said through Moses. And he quotes the words. In Daniel chapter 9, when Daniel did not understand the prophecy of Daniel 8, he prayed a prayer that is filled with quotations from the Old Testament. And he too says, God, remember what you said through Moses. In the prayer that Solomon gave at the dedication of the temple, found in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it is literally one phrase upon another, quoting from Deuteronomy and Leviticus and Exodus. And in Jesus' high priestly prayer of John 17, there are several, although not direct quotes, there are several allusions to the unity of God and the glory of God that Jesus prayed. If you have any questions about whether it's okay to pray scripture or not, to me, that's enough evidence, isn't it, for you? Last Wednesday night, we were having our study on Romans. And I asked if there was anybody willing to pray and got no takers. So I prayed, and there was a list of 14 different descriptions of love in Romans 12. If you don't like the number, go back and count them for yourself. It'll be a good exercise, and you'll read some things God says about love. And so we talked about those, and at the end, I asked if there was anybody willing to pray, and they looked at me and said, Pastor, you're it. So I prayed. And I repeated almost word for word those descriptions of God's love in my prayer and said things like, God, please help us to be this. Empower us to be. And at the end of the prayer, I hope he doesn't mind me saying it, Dr. Horner said, I was going to volunteer, but I'm glad I didn't, because your prayer was a great summary and it was powerful. I cannot share with you enough what I think the importance of praying scripture is all about. Let me just share with you some of the effects I've seen. You may have heard this in the testimonies this morning. Communion with God becomes more obvious. You are using principles of two-way communication. The power of scripture is realized in a new and more meaningful way. When we pray using scripture, either by simply quoting the passage, paraphrasing the passage, personalizing the passage, making it the basis of your request, you will discover that prayer becomes more personal, more powerful. Scriptures come alive. You experience God's presence more. You are encouraged more. You're more focused in your prayer, and it takes prayer to another level. Those of you who recently have started praying scripture, I don't think they would say I've over-exaggerated any of those things. So how do you pray scripture? Sometimes it's difficult because you have to kind of do the opposite. When you're reading about how God warns the Israelites about their idolatry, you may have to say, God, I know I don't have any statues I'm bowing down to, but are there idols in my life you're warning me against today. It may be that when you're reading about how someone was unkind and cruel to someone else, maybe what you need to pray is, Lord, I can't remember being cruel to anyone lately, but help me to be able to forgive as you've called me to do when that happens. Do you see what I'm saying? You take words and thoughts and concepts from what you just read in Scripture and you pray about it and it becomes meaningful. Perhaps that's what the psalmist had in mind when he said, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Maybe it's what Jeremiah had in mind when he said, your words were found and I ate them, and your word became to me a joy and a delight. Maybe it's what Paul had in mind in Ephesians when he tells us that we're to have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And immediately afterwards, he says, we are to pray at all times in the Spirit after having the word of God. We're going to do something very, very different to end this service. We're going to go about 10 minutes over. It's going to be worthwhile. I'm going to ask Kelly to take all the children from kindergarten age through juniors, not junior high, kindergarten age through juniors. She's going to meet them at the back. All the kids can go with her, and she's going to go do something with them because I don't want your attention distracted. At the same time, I'm asking the deacons to pass out a sheet of paper to you that you can use for the exercise we're going to do for a minute or two. I would encourage you, even if you're not sure how to do this, to try to enter into this exercise in praying of scriptures. The praying of scriptures. And what I'm going to ask you to do as you do this is what you're receiving is the opportunity to personalize Colossians 1 and read it with your name in it first. And then you can pray to God using the words, thoughts. And some examples of how to use it, you may ask God, what do you have in mind for me as I pray about this passage? Maybe you want to do some worship and praise or praise God for something in this passage that spoke to you. Maybe you want to give thanks for something you saw there. Maybe you want to ask God to make his word true in your life with something that was there. Maybe there's forgiveness you need to offer using some of the words that are there. Maybe there's something you need to understand better. So I'm going to ask the organist, Taylor, to just play some music softly while you read this passage. And when you're done reading the passage personally, take a few moments and pray about this passage for just a moment or two, asking God to make this passage real by praying it for yourself.